all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And a very good evening and welcome to the Legends Show. My name's Steve Hothersall, Aldo and Sharpie here. You might be out doing your Christmas shopping at the moment. Don't worry, just keep us on for the next hour. Aldo and Sharpie will keep you entertained. You can call them if you want. Maybe if, I don't know, if someone else in the family's doing the shopping, just stay in the car, have a listen to the boys, give them a ring. You can get it off your chest. Of course, a lot of happier blues and reds this week. Liverpool back up to second. Everton finally win a match.
Good week, wasn't it?
It was great, wasn't it, chaps?
Yeah,
what do you think?
Excellent. Yeah, all round brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, I can't hear you, Sharpie. Let me change your fader. Don't say it again. You're going to say, you can't wear the desk. You can't. Here we go. Hang on. Whoever was in here last has made a mess of this. There we go. Let's see if I... There we go. Got you now.
No, I was just saying Everton were different class. At last, you saw what the punters have been crying out for. Passion, commitment, you know, drive, aggression, everything. Against an Arsenal side who came there, you know, fully expecting to win. But I just thought once... even to go behind, and we showed great character, and I thought we deserved it in the end. You know, rode our luck a little bit, one clear off a line near the end, but overall, you know, I thought we shaded it and we deserved to win it. So, only disappointing possibly was Jagielka sending off, which I thought was a little bit harsh. I know in this day and age, but when I look back at the free kick given on Leighton Baines, which was a free kick, and the boy... Coquelin, I think it was, didn't even get a yellow card for that. I thought that was worse than what Jagielka's second one was, but, you know, he's off and he misses the derby, so that was the only downside to it, but...
But Everton have turned the corner, have they?
Oh, turned the corner. They've had a decent performance against a decent team.
Do you know what epitomised the game for me from Everton point of view? And if I was an Everton fan, the two goals were great. The two clearances off blind last minute, I went down to 10 men, was absolutely different class. You could see the fact everyone's off the seat because you think it's 2-2, isn't it? It's odds on. And I thought the defending in that situation was absolutely throwing bodies on the line. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, something else that needs to be congratulated, the fans, because there was actually a proper... I think that was the...
But that's only because they've seen, what I said to you, they've seen aggression and passion.
But it was the first time this season there's been a proper atmosphere,
well,
hasn't
because
it? Proper cauldron.
That's the first time they've seen it. You know what I'm saying? They're up against one of the so-called top sides. You know... You go in there, and if they took the form that they've shown previously in there, the crowd would have been quiet again. But they won a few early tackles. They got stuck in, got in the faces of Arsenal. They didn't like it. They had a decent 20 minutes first, you know, and Koeman said he wasn't happy with that kind of thing. But overall, everybody coming out of Goodison remarked about the same thing. They showed passion, they showed commitment, aggression. Hey, and if they'd have lost the game or drawn, they'd have been disappointed, but they'd at least seen something from the players. And that's what they need to show, and that's what's been lacking. And that's why they've been getting the criticism they've been getting.
John, was Goodison always a hostile place to go? Yeah, was it somewhere you thought this was more fervent than anywhere else?
I think it's a Liverpool thing. The people in Liverpool, and people say I might be biased, are more passionate than people most of the places. No, they'll fight. To fight the corner more than other, you know, I just say, you know, what happened at the Hills, by the way, you know, 20 odd years later, that is what Liverpool people are about. Mm. You know, they will fight and they'll cheer, we'll go over the top sometimes because this passion's within us for whatever reason. You know, both Liverpool and Everton, you know, okay, you can go to Anfield sometimes, it's like a library, Goodison might be the same, but when they're up for it, they're up for it. Two stadiums will rock, proper rock, you know, and you know, from my point of view, the timing's pretty bad from Everton. With our game coming up. Even though I was rooting for Everton, didn't I? Big time, yeah.
That's what I'm saying if they turn the corner. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sets the derby up perfectly, doesn't it?
It does, of course it does. It's always going to be like one of those special occasions, you know. And the worst thing about it is, you know, whoever wins goes into Christmas cock or hoop, don't they? You know, and I don't think we've ever played the game before Christmas, not that I can remember. The time and it's special. It'll be a special game. It's always a special game, you know. Let's face it, you know.
It's like the fixture machine has fixed this, isn't it?
Well,
just before Christmas.
That's not bad. I don't mind that. I think it's a decent time
for a Monday night.
Now.
I do.
But with the night game, it'll be more special than a night game. I think you know. It'll probably, being a home team, you prefer to be a night game than probably a 3 o'clock or half 12 kickoff. Like when it's sometimes it can be a little bit. Sometimes it can be a
night games just give it a little extra.
And the atmosphere is better.
Under the lights, gives it a little extra edge.
But from a Liverpool point of view last night, you know, after what happened at the weekend, you know, I wasn't very confident. You know, I thought, like, we might slip up. I was saying to Sharp, honestly. You know, but after the first half, it wasn't great the first half, but we got our necks in front, and we probably just about deserved. But second half, it was so much better, and we could conserve our energy the last 15 minutes. But what I will say, that second goal, you won't see a better goal for team goal than that for a long time. If that was Barcelona, it would have been played on the telly all day. It wasn't even on Match of the Day. It wasn't even pinpointed on Match of the Day. There was about 15, 16 passes, and the last phase of the pass, and the last seven passes, were all one touch. It was glorious. Yeah. I couldn't believe the goal.
Yeah,
it was absolute sublime football. Brilliant, brilliant football.
And he's on a hot streak, Div Okereke, as is Adam Lallana as well, who's playing out of his skin.
Lallana was excellent. Origi done all right, but he scored five on the bounce. And as a striker, that's all you... Hey, you get your name in that paper the next day as a striker. You get your goal, you're doing your job, and he's done it five games on the bounce now.
Okie doke, let's get to some of the callers. Didn't mention Loris Karius there, did John? But I'm sure one of the callers might do tonight.
Yeah,
and Simon Mignolet. but let's get to our first caller. Evertonian, it's Phil who's in Kirby. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, Phil.
Hi, thank you. Hi, boys, you okay? Sharpie, what it is? Hello?
Hi, Phil.
Yeah, sorry. Well, it's Sharpie. I phoned up a few weeks ago. I'm not really Koeman's biggest... I know you're saying you've got to give him time and that, and I phoned up when you went to Southport. I know you were the Zor Sharpie and Ozzy was on. I was having a go with the lads about the Chelsea game.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought he didn't care. But that's you on Tuesday. I was just delighted because it wasn't quality Sharpie, but he put a shift in. He wanted to win. And that's all we ask.
Yeah.
We haven't got the quality that Liverpool possess at the minute and Chelsea and that, but you know what? All the Evertonians want, just put a shift in. And even if they scored at the end there with Burns, you cleared off the line, you know what? They still got clapped off.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wants. I mean, Chelsea, when the game's going on, someone win the ball in the air or a good tackle and it sets everyone off. Mm. Come on, get up for it. And that's what happened after 20 minutes. James McCarthy put a tackle in there and the crowd sort of got up for it and a few Gay got in there and then... And I just made up with the results the other day because I was being disappointed. 7 weeks sharp, you thought they have been really disappointing.
Yeah, they have. You know, Phil, you look at it and you know, and you had your opinions about Koeman as well. But at once, I think for once the lads have woken up and done as he's asked. You know, he wants them to play with that high tempo. He wants them to get around. You know, surprising with the team when Gareth Barry wasn't in it and left out, and he played Valencia and Aaron Lennon. So there were a few eyebrows raised, thinking, well, what's happening now? But I thought his team was spot on, apart from the first 20 minutes where they bossed it as they usually do, also knocking the ball around without really making any chances. But no, you're spot on. Everybody leaving and everybody I spoke to after the game would relieved to see that the team were actually showing a little bit of passion and aggression. You know, something that has been sadly missing this season. Especially I went to the Watford game the Saturday before and that was poor. But certainly... That shows you they can do it, but what they must do now is show it on a regular basis. Starting obviously with Liverpool, they need to be up for that one, and if they show the same endeavour and passion, they've got a chance of getting the result.
Yeah, but you just want one more thing, Sharp, before you go. Yeah. I've seen the game yesterday with West Brom. I'm just thinking now, in the transfer, if you can get all that Rondon, because he gives something different, you know, from Lukaku, where he can hold the ball up and he's really good in the air. Do you know, like, if you want to go different there rather than... What do you think about him?
Well, Phil, I just think he's doing okay at the moment, but I think if you ask West Brom fans about him over the last 18 months or whatever he'd been, he struggled a little bit. But now, you know, he's settled down and he's scoring goals, but I'm sure, I think the one we're linked at the moment is Schneiderlin, which, you know, he plays... that midfield position again, and I'm thinking,
I don't think we need something different.
You know, Schneiderlin is like a Gareth Barry, a James McCarthy, sits in that holding midfield. But I have to say, Phil, on Tuesday night, I thought the boy Idrissa Gueye was brilliant again.
But just on that, it's funny because I was watching the telly last night. Tony Pulis said Rondon's the best centre forward in the Premiership. So just to let you know, that's what Tony Pulis thinks. I think he got carried away a little bit. Great to get Nattery.
Yeah.
And he's a proper old-fashioned centre-forward, because when he came on against Liverpool, he really did put himself about. You know, he made one or two opportunities for them. But is that what you need? I'm not too sure. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure. But listen, Phil, we'll wait and see what happens in January, but I'd have to say, and a big shout-out, I thought, was excellent the other night as well, Ross Bartley. Ross Bartley gets a lot of criticism, but I thought the other night, I thought he did well. And if he can keep producing performances like that and getting back in the side and getting back to playing the way we know he can do.
Well, I think he needed that little kick up though, Sharp.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Nice one, Phil. Thank you very much. You mentioned Ross Barkley. You see the newspaper piece yesterday?
No, I don't.
Linking him with Tottenham, possibly swooping for Ross Barkley. He was on the back of a couple of the papers yesterday.
Didn't see it. He did well the other night. He did better.
He had the slow start, didn't he? And I thought his confidence was down, but it grew.
Yeah.
He got into the game more and he got some good passes.
He did. He got better in a couple of shots and goals, so that will do him the world of good as well.
And a week ago, Ronald Koeman was saying, my team hasn't got physicality, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that game, McCarthy in particular.
Guess who was moaning?
What?
Guess who was moaning?
Winger.
Yeah.
See, McCarthy, early physical. On, McCarthy threw a good tackle in. You know, he rattled the... Shaka or something. He rattled him earlier on. That's what you got to do. That's what football's all about. It's a good, strong challenge. It wasn't over the top. It just, you know, just a little reminder. You know, Shaka tried to retaliate a little bit, but straight away... He's lost that a little bit, and he didn't see much of Shaka after that. And sometimes, if you pinpoint players and know they don't like the tackles, you know, you'll see less of them. And I thought McCarthy.
So Ronald obviously got in McCarthy's head, for example.
Coughlin for Arsenal leaves his foot in. You know, he's not shy either. But just as he came off at half time, there was a little scrap. James and Seamus Coleman as well. So and James McCarthy. It was all kicking off, and
big,
the punters love it.
Big Dunk was in the middle of it, and most of the all got around Big Dunk in case anything happened. The haymakers had come out.
So you wouldn't want to get a strap with him, would you?
No, but that's what they need. If you sand off Arsenal and let them play, they'll destroy most teams, but they don't like it when you get in their faces, and Wenger was moaning. But I thought Koeman after was good, and he says...
He had the golden, didn't he?
He just said, this is the third time I beat Arsene Wenger, and every time he has moaned. So I am not surprised.
Because Wenger complained about the corner, didn't he? Which preceded the second goal.
Yeah.
No issues with that?
Was it the corner?
The young boy Dominic Calvin-Lewin came on and he's been up for a head on it. He said it's come off his shoulder. But the referee, it was a hard one to call. You could see whose shoulder it came off. But listen... He'll make excuses, but overall, speaking to Liam Brady and everybody after the game as well, saying that we deserve to win.
Okay, I just want to give a quick plug to this guy who sent us some mugs in, Sharpie. So I think
what's his name?
I think you and Aldo can have these.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got a red and a blue mug.
Well, I don't want the red one.
So one's got Ian Rush on, which has got like a teletext picture of Ian Rush in it. Rush, and it's got what is it? League Division 1, Goodison Park. Everton 0, Liverpool 5 on that one. And the Everton one, what's the Everton one got
on? Selling ball, isn't it? The Wallow game.
Yeah, it's got Everton 1, Liverpool 0. Bawley in the 45th minute.
Picture of Bawley, the teams.
Yeah.
The attendance and all that. And it's done by RetroText. So John Doran, he's put a lot of time into this and sent them in. So I'm going to give them to you, boys.
Can you have the box?
Do you want to give them for Christmas presents?
Oh, absolutely. We'll give that to someone, can we, Sharpie?
Yeah, look at this. Look at this. And this one I've got here. And one of the facts at the bottom. 40,149 people also watched this game at Anfield via CCTV.
Yeah.
CCTV?
But it says CC. That's a CCTV.
It does. It says CCTV.
There was 60,000 at Everton.
That's a big
and then there was a big screen. Yeah,
Anfield,
in front of the cop. And I'll tell you, I'm going off from the story. A friend of mine, William Miller, tells a story about it. He said, they're all watching the cop and it's windy. And all of a sudden a wind come and it sliced the screen at Anfield. And Willie's uncle said to him, some tattle that was.
I love it.
See, that's a good present, that. You're going to give that to someone I know
I'll
you
keep
are.
That.
After Christmas, I want to know.
That.
John, who's that
I
going
might
to?
I just give it to Rushy if I see him. He can have it. It's not my face, on it.
Does it look like him? Right, 7:15. This is Radio City and Radio City Talk, and it's the Legends. We're going to take more of your calls next. 0151 472 0967. Derby's on Monday. Give us a shout on that one.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 to 7. Hope you're all right wherever you are, right across the northwest. This is the Radio City Legends, of course, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. We're going to Lewis in a moment or two. Big Reds fan, just before we do. I see Luis Suarez has signed a new contract with Barcelona that includes a buyout clause of 167.5. I don't know where the 0.5 comes from. But £167.5 million is his buyout clause, John.
Well,
how did they come to that figure?
He deserves, doesn't he? Know, something to do with the agents, by the sound of it. You know what I mean? The percentages or something.
There's one thing for sure. He ain't coming back to play in the UK.
Well, that, do you remember that rumour that went around a few months ago?
Yeah,
would Lewis be interested?
How old do you know? He's 29.
Messi's 29 years old. I don't know how. Yeah, he is. He's 29, sorry.
Yeah, so that'll tie him up to the end of his career, won't he?
So that's 34.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
since he's been at Barca, he scored 97 goals since he's been at Barca, and he's won 8 trophies since going there.
I just watched something there before we came on here, and it was about Henry and about his time at Barcelona, and how after that he didn't really want to come back to, like, you know, Arsenal. I know he came back on loan kind of thing, but, and that's why he went to the MLS and went to New York. He just thought, I've done it all at Barcelona. So whether Suarez is thinking the same, and may just go, I'll go back to, you know,
China. By that time, I'm sure they'll have...
Like Oscar. And we'll talk about Oscar a little bit later on, because his wages are all right. Let's talk instead on the Radio City Legends to Lewis. Welcome, Lewis.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Lewis.
Hello, Lewis.
Tell you what, I wouldn't mind Suarez coming back to Liverpool.
Absolutely, mate. There's no chance that's going to happen now, though.
No, sadly not. Sadly not. Anyway, John, I'm just ringing. I just want to get your whole opinion on the whole goalkeeping situation at Liverpool, because I just find it bizarre myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously, Mignolet began the season, was in the sticks while Karius was feeling his feet, and the manager then wanted to assess, you know, Karius. So he said, after the first break, I think it was after Burnley, I'm going to assess Karius, then I'll make my mind up then after the next break. And Simon's nose was pushed out, and the rest is history, really. You know, I think what I would say is Karius last season was voted, if I'm not correct, is the second best keeper in the Bundesliga.
Well, his stats prove that anyway.
Yeah.
His stats.
So he's no mug. But so, sometimes you come to a club, young, and it's a different club. You come into Anfield, more expectations, bigger crowd, and perhaps he just can't get used to the pressure that's upon him. I might be wrong. And we could see he was struggling with one thing and another, getting to grips with his game. He's made a few ricks. He'd made some good saves as well. And I think the manager, we spoke about it before, last couple of weeks, he needed to be pulled out the firing line, because it gets you that much mentally. You need to be took back, you know, reassess the situation, then come again. You know, outfield players have done that in the past. Yeah. And I applaud the manager for doing it. It could have been done last week or the week before, but he's had a bit more trust in the lad, and unfortunately it hasn't happened for him. But hey, let's get behind him and hope that, you know, the rest will do him good, and he'll come back, and he'll have a good fight on his hands with Simon Mignolet. But you could see a difference last night. I think there was a lot more confidence in Simon Mignolet, and what he had to do last night, he done convincingly as well.
I mean, I've been to a few games now, and I've seen Karius, and I watched Pepe Reina when he was at Liverpool, and Reina was a very vocal goalkeeper, and it just doesn't seem Karius has the confidence to shout at his defenders and organise them. And I think with Mignolet, you get that. I know he gets knocked a lot for some of his distribution and things, but in terms of organising the defence, I think he's a lot stronger than Karius.
Yeah, you're spot on. Well, he's younger, Karius, isn't he? And he's less experienced. You know, you're spot on there. Simon's been there a couple of years now, and he does. He tries to be vocal and get involved, you know, with the players. And I just think the lad, the timing wasn't quite right for him to go on the team. Let's hope he becomes a good goalkeeper for down the line, and the manager got another one correct, another decision on the player correct, because he hasn't got many wrong.
It's a different mental challenge, though, isn't it, Sharpie, now, for Karius? Because you're talking about taking him out of the firing line, it might be better for him.
Well,
he might be sat at home,
agonising over it now. Jurgen Klopp will know the lad. You know, he's not daft. He'll know the lad, he'll talk to the lad. He'll be disappointed he's out the team. And every right to be. You know, nobody wants to get left out of the team. They want to play. But he'll know how to handle them. And as John says here before, he's a young goalkeeper. You know, he's had a couple of mistakes, you know, and he's thought, right, okay, now's the time. Just take him out. Get him out the fire. It's not saying he's a bad goalie and he'll never play for them again. Just take him out the fire, put somebody else in. Listen, Mignolet might have a nightmare in three games, or he might be fantastic the next 20 games till the end of the season, and the boy Carrick will have to just bide his time to get back in. You just don't know. But what he'll do is, he knows Carrick. He'll have spoken to him and told him the situation, what he wants for him, what he feels he's got to do and got to achieve and got to be better at. There's no worry with it. It happens. Yeah. Mignolet now is in the box seat. It's down to him when we see Carrick again.
Yeah, and it goes without fair play. We've been in the same situation, especially when you're a young player, you've gone to another country, you know, and everything's all different for you. If you go in and you've been thrown in at the deep end and things don't happen, one, you lose your confidence. And it's a little bit like confidence. When you lose your belief in yourself, that's when you struggle. And everything all the things you were doing was going wrong for him, and that's why you need to reassess it. Out you go. Like, chill out, you work hard in your training, and when you come again, it's a new start. It's a fresh start. And then you take it again, you know, and like us, you get dropped because you lost your form. You go in again, you get a goal. All of a sudden, them goals look bigger. The goalie looks smaller. Whereas before, they looked like hockey goals, and the goalie's big. That's what your belief is. That's what it makes.
Yeah,
it makes.
The one thing I'm disappointed about, and I have to be honest, is the hype over it all. Yeah. With pundits getting involved and all that, and it's going to be a nationwide thing, and people are, get over it. What's all the hype? Oh, you should do this, should that. The manager will make a decision, which he has done, and he's done it, you know, not for pundits to say this and that. The way it's just kind of snowballed off the field and what other people having to say on it.
What are you saying? Have the pundits brought him to his knees in some way? Yeah, have they massively affected the player?
I don't think they've helped with all that. But listen, it's a simple decision, making a decision.
You've got to be tough in this day and age to not react to pundits, haven't you?
No, but make a decision. You know, Klopp was going to make the decision. All this and people having to go at each other on Twitter and this and all that kind of thing. They're entitled to say fair enough, but I think there's been too much made of that. You know, the boy's a young boy, as I said, he's finding his way, coming over here kind of thing, but all of a sudden it's like, it's up there with Trump winning the election, if you read the back pages, isn't it? Yeah, and you go, oh, what's all this about?
Lewis, are you happy with either of those?
Can I just say something as well on the same lines of what we're talking about, Sharpie? Like, When we were playing, the manager would say certain things about players, like centre halves. You know, he turns like a double decker bus, put balls down the side. After the game, if you scored a goal against him, you don't go and say, "Well, I played on the centre half." Yeah. You know, I got passed because the goalie said it. Our manager said he's like a double decker bus. You know, the Bournemouth player showed real poor respect for the goalkeeper, saying we pinpointed him. You know, it's okay the manager saying, but you keep that in house. Yeah. You don't. For your fellow professionals, you've got to have respect, and you don't put that into the media, and that didn't help him either.
So all these things have mounted up. Yeah. Lewis, how would you have dealt with it if you were Jurgen Klopp? What would you have done?
There's a danger, isn't there? Because as Sharpie said, you know, if Mignolet makes a mistake in 3 weeks' time, he could be dropped out the side. Mm. And, I mean, in terms of confidence, it's not only confidence in the goalkeepers, it's confidence in the back four as well, because you as defenders have got to build a sort of understanding and rapport with your goalkeeper, and if the man behind you keeps changing, you're going to lose confidence as well in your performances, and you don't know what the keeper wants from you each game, and then that in turn leads to bad results, and then Liverpool not finishing where they're supposed to finish in the league.
I wonder what he'll do if Mignolet plays really well, and then when we play Southampton in the semi-finals
of the cup,
I wonder what he'll do. Will he play Carrick? That's one to think about, isn't it? You know, because Mignolet's been playing in the cup, hasn't he?
Excellent stuff, Lewis. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers.
This is funny, by the way. This picture in The Guardian today, have you seen this? It's the Phil Mitchell brothers with Peggy Mitchell in between, and they put Gary and Phil Neville's heads on the top of them. Basically saying that the boys were ganging up on Loris Karius, weren't they? But it's quite a funny little piece, that one.
But,
right.
But this, but you've got to remember there as well, Mignolet had his detractors as well. You know, when he was going to say he can't do this and he can't do that, blah, blah, blah. So he's got to manage it right, Klopp. You know, and, you know, for all the people that we've had on the show, Slayton John as well, Mignolet's not this, he's not that kind of thing. So Klopp's taking a chance of bringing Mignolet back in as well.
All right, let's go to Melling and speak with Kevin on the Radio City Legends. Hello, Kev.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Kev.
Okay. Funny enough, someone who steals your thunder when I come on. It was about the goalkeeping situation. What no one really mentioned about Karius is the fact that he broke his hand, and I wonder whether he, you know, he's still not recovered from that. You know, confidence-wise, you know, is he still thinking about that in his game? You know, but also, you know, put Mignolet back in, I don't think is the answer personally, because he would have been with him in the beginning, wouldn't he? And I think now,
who are you going to put in, Kev, if you don't put him in?
Well, I think now the January, what he should have done from the beginning, I think £4 million was a gamble for a goalkeeper. You know, he should have been brought in as an understudy. I think what he should do really is go into the transfer window now and get someone like Butland, because they're not going to have a greater chance now to win this league with a dodgy pair of goalkeepers, one for better word. I think he should break the bank and get either Butland or Foster. And as I said, now he won't get a better chance. You know what I mean?
I don't look upon Mignolet as dodgy. Okay, you know, he's got flaws to his game, the people are saying on the floor and one or two little things. But as a shot stopper, I tell you what, there's not many in the Premiership, a couple he's on par with, a shot stopper. All right, he's other parts of the game, but they have got better. You know, they have got better. He's worked on him and all that. So, you know, I don't think he gets sometimes the credit what he deserves. Honestly, I really, really don't.
Yeah, I think in fairness, John, you know, look, because the team, the way they are now, very offensive, you know, he doesn't really have that much to do like he used to have to do with previous defences, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe this might just be the chance he could take. But, you know, long term, I just don't know.
We'll see. But, you know...
Would you swap, here's a hypothetical one, would you swap a Mignolet for a Joe Hart? Sharpie?
I think, throwing it out there, would you?
I think, would I have Joe Hart or Liverpool?
Would there be more chance of Liverpool winning the league, the Premier League? That is the point.
Would I have Joe Hart or Liverpool? Yes.
You would?
Yeah, it's a fight for his place.
That's an interesting sort of question, isn't it? And Kev's talking about looking at other keepers out there. Would you have him, Kev?
Say again, sorry.
Would you have Joe Hart?
No.
Now he's not happy with anyone, is he?
I just do not rate Joe. I think seriously, Jack Butland or Fraser Porter.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
They're good keepers. They're good keepers.
And I think, you know, if you're talking about in the transfer window now, we've got Sadio Mane gone. What better player to replace him than that Traore? I think he's definitely worth a look at. He's a very similar player.
The lad who played against us last night.
That's right, yeah.
He's, tell you what, like, I'll give you something. He's like Billy Whiz, but, you know, once he gets around the 18-yard box, you know, his final ball's not the best, is it?
Good clock work on him, John, you know.
He done well last night, to be fair, first half. He did do well, yeah.
Kevin, thank you very much indeed. We have to take a break.
Cheers, Kev.
Cheers, Andrew, Kev.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Yeah. We're feeling festive out there. Hey, what?
Ronaldo hit his 500th club goal.
500.
Just the 500. Oh. Right, we'll talk about him and Oscar in a moment or two. It's Radio City Legends, 7:03.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Now, just before the break, Sharpie was going on about Cristiano Ronaldo. He's there on his Google at the moment. So, Ballon d'Or winner. Yeah. Again this week, of course, he was. Him and Messi have won it between them since 2008. 500 goals, did you say? Is that what it is now?
500th goal, yeah. He scored 377 for Real Madrid.
Wow. What was Roger Hunt on? Oh. Wasn't anywhere near that, was he?
No.
500, does anyone get near that?
Pelle. Pelle got 1,000, didn't he?
Did he?
Oh, he did, yeah.
I remember him scoring his 1,000th goal years ago for Santos, I think, as a penalty.
1,000 club and country goals.
It must be. I know it's his 1,000th goal, so.
Wow, remarkable stuff. Right, another name in the international headlines, Oscar, 25 years old, and he's set to jack in Chelsea and go to China for $400,000 a week.
I can't believe he's doing that.
Would you two have jacked your careers in at 25? Not jacked your careers, but would you?
Yeah, you're right, jacked your career in, you're right.
Is it? Is that what he's doing there?
But that's where the money is now, and they say that they're trying to get the league. I'd beat people over from the Chinese Super League, and they're going into it big time, real big time. Throwing money about like that is crazy. But they seem to think that's the next big league. I know it's the Premier League at this moment in time, but I'm not sure.
It could be crap to start off.
Yeah.
I think he's taking an easy way out, just taking the money. Yeah, yeah. He's just been mercenary there without a shadow of doubt.
So you'd have gone?
No, I wouldn't. If it was Liverpool's playing, no. Was I playing Liverpool? No, no.
If you played for Chelsea,
but he's playing for Chelsea. Yeah. Listen,
I've never played for Chelsea.
But he's playing for Chelsea, so there's a chance of winning the league. OK, he might have come out of favour, but surely goodness, you'll have enough suitors, you know, in the big leagues. But the Chinese, I'm not sure. I can't see that. Listen, the money is the most important thing for some of them. Mm. That looks the case in Oscar's, and the way he's looked at that, I'm not sure.
Right, let's talk the derby and goalkeepers as well on the Radio City Legends with Rich, who's our next caller. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Good morning. I mean, good evening.
Good
you
morning.
Right?
Good morning.
Hello, Rich.
All right, Sharpie. All right, Dolby.
Hi, Rich.
John, just a quick question for you. Just on the point some of the other lads have gone on about the keeper situation. I know everyone's having a bit of a rant about Karius and people have got the concerns over Mignolet and things like that, but my point of view on it really is, over the years, and the last, if you go back to the last sort of 10, 15 years, we seem to have ruined keepers at Liverpool. And I would just like to get your point on going back to the goalkeeper coaching. Now, for many years, we had Joe Corrigan, Julio signed people like Dudek, Sander Westerveld, Chris Kirkland, who became a future potential England number one, Scott Carson. And now, obviously, you know, Sammy Mignolet came, I think, in the region of 12, 14 million from Sunderland. Karius has come with a big reputation of being a good keeper in Germany. And I'd just like to get your point on, I know you had maybe Blackburn at Samia with you as well, but really, do you think it's anything down to maybe what they're doing in training on a daily basis?
Honestly, do you know what, Richard? I don't know, because I don't know. I've never seen them, how they coach them. But I know John Lachterberg as a goalkeeper, you know, and he was a great goalkeeper. Very, very professional. You know, he'll have them working very, very, well, extremely hard on the game. I've actually seen, what I would say with Sam Mignolet, with him on the ball, with his feet, over the last 12 months, 18 months, he has got better. Because you work on in training. Obviously, you work on your deficiencies in training, don't you? But also, you've got to work on your strengths as well. Shot stopping being the most important one in my mind. So I find it hard sometimes when people... I think people just look for an easy cop-out sometimes. And this has happened. They blame the coaches or whatever. But I don't know, to be quite honest. I wouldn't know how he trains them or what he does, actually.
Rich, I think you make a great point about the number of keepers, though, that we've seen at Liverpool.
It's a fantastic point.
It's a huge list, isn't it?
Absolutely, and to be fair, bang average most of them, aren't they?
Yeah, they did, but, you know, a few of them were international. Dudek was Polish number one. Achterberg was in the Netherlands squad. I know Karius is up a good stiff competition over in Germany. But
Chris Kirkland was a little bit unlucky, wasn't he, Richie? You know, he got picked up a couple of injuries, Chris, didn't he?
He was, but Scott Carson also came as a future potential England goalkeeper as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So, I just don't know, you know, we had Joe Corrigan for many years and then John Achterberg's come in, I just don't know. It's just some thoughts on it, really, that I've had against, really, sometimes, you know, because it is easy to point the finger at the goalkeeper when mistakes are happening.
Are you only going to win the league with a brilliant keeper?
It helps.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. You look at it, Clemens, Grobler, Neville Southall. Hey, top keepers. Liverpool win the league and Everton in them days. You know, you look at the Chelsea keeper, that save last minute. Unbelievable. It's a great save. He makes him 2 points there. That's a draw all the way. But he's pulled off a worldie right to the death when he's had very, very little to do. And sometimes you need that. They like a goal scorer, they'll get you points when games are very, very tight. He'll nip it for you, get the extra couple of points. Goalies do the same.
Rich, quickly, let's look ahead to the derby. How are you feeling about Monday?
I was quite confident until Everton the other night.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I tell you what, going into the game and looking at the way Everton have been playing, worried about what happened at Anfield last year, and you're thinking it's going to be the same here. Honestly, you'd ask any Evertonian, he would have said, we're worried about 3-4-0, and I've said it before, the way Liverpool are playing, especially in the front area of the team, you'd think. But having watched the game on Tuesday night, Everton. They'll be a lot more Everton is optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. You know, I think the thing for Everton is how they approach the game tactically. You know, it's just a big one. Would they go at Liverpool or will they do what teams do? Be a little bit intimidated. That could be a big say of the matter.
Rich, you made some great points. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughts.
By the way, what's the Everton goalkeeping situation like? We've had no callers for a while, you know.
Oh, don't feel pressure,
Alex. Excuse me. You know. I don't know, she played well.
You're doing well. I'm enjoying listening to you for a change.
John's not used to such a tidal wave.
I've got me deflecting shields on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have got a blue waiting for you anyway. It's Phil, who's in Walton. Evening, Phil.
Oh, evening, all right, boys.
Hi, Phil.
Just get me point on a baby. Listen to Ronald Koeman at the right time, I think, didn't he, just before the Derby match?
Yeah.
And I think that's all it's been about, hasn't it? People going, oh, so-and-so's not playing well, so-and-so. He's just listened to the manager. He knows what he's on about, doesn't he, Koeman? He knows exactly what he's on about. And that's been the problem, I think, not just not listening to him. Yeah. And everyone at the same time seemed to went, yeah. And we're up, all right, babe, talking to the little one. We were all together then, weren't we, the other night? And it was just, like, amazing, absolutely amazing.
Phil, listen. He's been talking to him till he's blue in the face, and what he wanted them to do, and you know they haven't been doing it. That's why he's been swapping and changing. He went with formation the other night with Valencia and Lennon, and I think both of them done well. They've now put down a mark and said that, listen, that's what you have got to do week in, week out. You know, and they've got to do that. They can't just do it once in a blue moon. They've got to keep doing it and keep reproducing. That's the signs of good teams. But the players, you could see the reaction from the players after the game as well. You know how much it meant to them. So it's a step in the right direction, but it'll only be that way if we put in another performance against Liverpool. And from now until the end of the season, that is what they're capable of. And they need to do that on a regular basis.
Well, even we're in the Gladys Street. I mean, and even, as you think you said earlier, even if they'd have scored, if they'd have equalised, would they still been happy?
Yeah.
Putting in tackles, putting in commitments, passion, everything about it. And that's all we want. We can't stand there and be bouncing around all day long if we're not seeing nothing happening, can we?
No, definitely not. And I said it all along. You know, if M becomes a signs for everyone for a player, they said it to me as well when I signed. Listen, if you go out there, you roll your sleeves up, you have a right good go, You give it all out in the pitch and leave nothing in there, they'll back you. You might be the worst player in the world, and I hate saying this, the boy Strakularsi was not the best. But because he ran around and put tackles in and won headers, the people took to him. You know, he wasn't great, but they took to him. Everton's need to see players playing with a passion and a drive and a commitment. Of course they want the Alan Balls and the Silky ones of this world, but they need, first and foremost, to have a hunger to go and win the game.
Just on that, Romelu Lukaku's had a little bit of stick, hasn't he, in the past month. Mm-hmm. Now, I had Franny Jeffers on the breakfast show on Radio City Talk the other morning. Now, he helps coach Romelu. And he said to me on air, he said, Romelu is as important as Diego Costa or Sergio Aguero. He said, in fact, I would bracket him in those three, probably third best in the Premier League in terms of players that are most important to their team.
He's important to Everton because he's a goal scorer. You know, and it was good to
see. But is he as important as Franny was making out? Is he as good as Franny's making out there?
No. He's younger than the two players that you mentioned. He's got more to learn. I think you're looking at the Aguero and Diego Costa. I would probably say the finished article. I don't think they're going to get any better. I think they're at the top.
But I think Franny's saying, where would Everton be without his goals?
Exactly, because he's a goal scorer. And without his goals, you know, Everton wouldn't be anywhere near where they are now or over the last couple of seasons or whenever he's been to the club, because his goals have helped Everton. What I'm saying to you is, if you're saying to me now, is he the main man and he's a finished article? He's not the finished article. Mm. The other two you mentioned are. You know, but Romelu Lukaku has so much more to do. But what I saw the other night was, again, a hunger and a passion and a willingness to run. You know, and close people down, and that's
direct argument.
Yeah, if he does that, not a problem.
Top stuff, Phil. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Phil.
Cheers.
Have a good crumble.
Move on to our next call in a moment or two. Just a quick one on Marcus Rojo for Manchester United. What about his tackling and
the
inability of referee to sort of grab this properly?
I think the one against Everton, that tell you what, that was a poor tackle, and that could have been really dangerous. He got away with it. the referee would have sent him off there, then he wouldn't do it again. He gets away with it and does it again last night. Okay.
Because he got away with it.
Of course it is, because if he wouldn't...
He wouldn't have been playing.
He wouldn't have been playing, but the next... He'd have thought about doing it again. Mm. So the two referees have had a nightmare day. Get him off.
Big time. Let's get to Martin in Eastham. Evening, Martin.
Evening, lads.
Hi, Martin.
Hello, Martin.
I'm fine. It's Everton points, but Blue's actually going to give an encouragement to a Liverpool goalkeeper at the end in a minute, but I'm going to go on about Everton first. what a difference one tackle can make to a game, mate, on Tuesday. And it was the young lad, and I've been on before about Ross, and I'm a big fan of Ross. And it was the fact that, all right, a foul got given. That didn't matter. It just brought the whole crowd started rocking off the one tackle similar to Phil Neville's nearly 10 years ago against Man U. And the whole team suddenly got a belief. You know, and I thought, and I'd like to give a special mention to Valencia. I thought he was brilliant on Tuesday. You know, the amount of running he did. And then people were questioning, well, why has he been substituted? I was surprised the lad could walk off.
No, Matt, you're right. Again, energy levels were a lot higher on Tuesday night, and listen, that's why they got the result. You know, a little bit of luck along the way as well, but you know, the energy levels were good, and I agree with you, Valencia. He's waited a while, but he's come on. I thought in the air he's decent. You know, as you say, he's got energy. You know, I thought Aaron Lennon did a good job as well, but you know, all around, you know, I think everybody played their part. You know, I think at the end, I think some of them were on their knees. I think Ashley Williams struggled a little bit, you know, physically. He looked tired, but, you know, he kept at it, got the winning goal. So, all over, you know, good performances, hopefully to take into the derby.
I'm looking for. I mean, I wasn't. I mean, to be honest, when Arsenal scored that first one, I think he was probably the same. It was, this could be a long night. This isn't going to be fun. But like you say, the energy levels were good. Yeah, Clattenburg had to ruin the night. He always has to send someone in blue off, doesn't he? For what? I mean, Arsenal threw a few tackles, and did any of them actually get booked?
I think Coughlin might have got booked near the end, but you're right. And I just thought the tackle with Jagielka, steam nowadays a foul, but I thought the foul on Baines was worse, and that should have got a yellow card. Not to say you want everybody booked all the time, but I just don't think there's... It's right. I don't say it's not fair. Is not the word I'm looking for. You just need
balanced.
To be, yeah. And then just need to be consistent every week. If you know you're doing that, you're going to get booked.
Just quickly, because you haven't got long. Just make your point on the keepers, Martin.
Right. Well, Sharp, you'll know what I'm on about. About 30 years ago, there was a young keeper come to Everton, and he had a dodgy first few months. In fact, he played in a certain game. They're trying to give you a mug on.
Yeah.
It's gone from my memory that I can't quite remember. I shut up, Aldo. I know what happened. You know, he got dropped.
It's just Neville.
And he got put back in as number one about 6 months later.
Yeah.
And we know what happened. The rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
So just because he's no good now doesn't mean, you know, sometimes you just persevere. You know what I'm on about, Sharp.
Yeah. I've seen it before, Martin. You're spot on. Yeah, it can happen that way. Yeah, absolutely. If you're mentally strong, you know, what he's gone through should put him in good stead going forward, shouldn't it? Having to gone through that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Because look what happened to, you know, I think, did Neville go out on loan for a few
months? He went to Bury, didn't he?
And then he come back, and by God...
No, he didn't go to Bury, I tell you. He went to Port Vale, I think he went and loaned.
Yeah. And then he come back, and I think we all know he knew how to shout at defenders, because you had one or two weird bashings off him.
No, not at all. They're going great with Neville.
Good stuff, Martin. Happy Christmas.
I didn't go far back. I did far enough back for that.
Oh, sorry, Sharpie. Yeah, remember he's going fuzzy, mate. I forgot that. Halfway line, only.
Yeah.
We've got to leave you there. Thank you very much, Martin.
Yeah,
have a great Christmas.
All the best, boys.
I'm delighted to know that every time you look at your mug that I've given you now, you'll think of Loris Karius.
No, you haven't, because I haven't got that mug. I've got the Alan Ball mug. But Aldo's got that one.
I've got I'm
not going to swap with each other.
No.
Well, I'll think about Neville when I see Rushy's pan there,
That's not Rushy.
No, but it's that game, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Right, we've just got a minute there. So Derby time on Monday, night.
Yeah. So, we're doing the show on Monday, aren't we?
It's exciting stuff, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, listen, I was at Goodison today, and I tell you, the belief now after that result was incredible, but we know it's going to be tough because Liverpool are in good form.
Where will it be won?
all over the park. Mm. You know, there's going to be interesting confrontations all over the place. You know, I think tactics being... I think Everton, tactically, just which way they're going to, you know, stop Liverpool the way we play, you know what I mean? And they do, it's going to be a tough game.
I think the back fours will decide the game.
Yeah. And no Jagielka. So Funes Mori will be involved.
Yeah, maybe.
That'll be interesting. Maybe Liverpool might look at that.
Well, Origi's playing up top again, isn't he? So unless he plays him on the left or plays him down the middle, that's going to be an interesting conversation in itself after what happened last time, yeah.
He's on a roll. He could be haunting your record as well. So
I'd love him to get within one of it, absolutely.
Yeah.
what record's that?
Oh, I don't know, Vardy broke it, didn't he?
Ten
so
about,
he got very upset about all that, didn't he?
He's on for it, is he?
He's got five now.
He's doing great, given his chance.
No, it won't be his.
Boys, you going Christmas shopping then this weekend?
No.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.